Hello and welcome back to the CreeperCast. It's like the beginning. It's like the end. It's like above and below. I am Jason. And with me is my compadre in the life and afterlife, Jeff. How's it going?
That was quite a tricky way of trying to working in the movie we're going to be talking about this week. And they said it couldn't be done. They said it probably wasn't. It wouldn't ever happen again. But yes, we are back for a fifth week in a row.
That's right. yes, and we have quite a month coming up. What do we got coming up this month for everyone?
Well, this month, well, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, we are going to get philosophical and get into the found footage film As Above, So Below. That is in this particular episode. Over the next couple of episodes, if you've been paying attention to the CreeperCast.com at all, and I know you have been because you are rabid CreeperCast fans, you have seen a lot of reviews of some promising talent coming out of Maine. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about a couple of films that came out that have come out of Maine, and then we're going to round out the next 4 weeks with an interview with a Mr. Corey Norman, a writer-director from Maine. We're going to talk about one of his movies, and then we're going to speak with him and talk about what's going on with that, you know, I mean, in the land of Stephen King, who thought there was anything creepier than him there living around there, right?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, when you're talking about creepy places, you know, Maine actually isn't one that comes to the top of my head. But after seeing some of these films that we're going to talk about, and also after kind of thinking about just the geography of it, I can definitely see it's a creepy ass place.
Yeah. Spend any time in the woods out there just does seem like, you know, it's like all those... like all the Jason movies that we've seen, and then you see all the scenery, you know, in the films for Maine, you're just like, this didn't, you know, all the Jason movies didn't happen in Maine?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. I'm pretty sure they did. But don't forget to get a hold of us. So, you know, you can get your voice heard on the CreeperCast by giving us a call at 503-454-6941. You can also send us an email at feedback@creepercast.com, and Jeff will reply to every single email that you send in his underwear.
In my underwear, huh?
Yes.
That's not always true. It's usually on my way to work when I'm not supposed to be texting and driving. But
or wearing only your underwear.
Right, yeah, because that's the way I go to work. Hey, it's the life of an underwear model. I'm sorry.
You know, you've probably seen billboards of Jeff hanging out, figuratively speaking.
Yeah, you've probably run away from billboards.
All right, and getting into this episode, we are talking about the 2014 found footage film, As Above, So Below. It's about a team of, shall we say, explorers that go into the catacombs of Paris and uncover a dark secret that lies beneath the city and within all of them. Shall we go to the trailer?
Yes, go for it. Let's hope there's more to it than just noise.
My name is Scarlett Marlowe, and I'm a student in urban archaeology.
370 feet beneath this point is a hidden chamber
that might contain a critical missing piece of our history.
How are we supposed to get down there?
Catacombs. There are 200 miles of tunnels right underneath our feet.
They're holding the remains of 6 million corpses.
Stop. This is the Empire of the Dead.
These are human bones. We go through here?
Let's do it.
Keep it slow and steady, yeah?
I think I'm stuck.
Just breathe with me, please. It's okay.
What was that?
Don't fall! Don't fall!
Is everyone okay?
I think I am. What the hell do we do now, huh?
We can't go back. We should just keep moving. Tell me we didn't just go in a circle.
It's exactly the same.
No, everything's upside down.
What happened to the entrance?
Wait, there's something here.
Oh my God.
What the hell is this?
When I was a kid, we had a piano that looked exactly like this. I used to play it all the time. The A4 key was messed up. What's going on?
Can you read that?
According to mythology, that's the inscription over the gates of hell.
And they shall be made to crawl on their bellies and enter the kingdom of darkness.
Did you hear that?
Somebody there?
What's happening to
us? Dad? It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault!
And the other synopsis of this is that this is the Goonies going into caves to find One-Eyed Pete's treasure. Only this time they brought a camera with them. No, wait, I got the wrong movie. I'm sorry.
yes. You know, this is, I guess, as far as found footage goes, I still don't like found footage films.
Really?
No.
I actually thought this is one of the ones that kind of legitimized the format for me. I've been a huge, I'm probably, and I'm actually surprised to hear you say that because I've been the one to speak out the most against found footage.
I've been very vocal against found footage films. I hate the shaky cam. You know, I don't like that feeling. Definitely I can see it in this film. They're in the catacombs. If anybody has ever traveled to Paris and has paid whatever the amount is to go down the catacombs, I don't remember what it was, but I have been there. And this film actually took place, like, they actually secured permission from the French government to be able to film the catacombs. When I went down there, I snuck a small video camera that I basically had to hold inside of my jacket the whole time because there was no photography allowed. There was no flashing. There was no flashlights. There was no video cameras. There was nothing. You were allowed to walk through, see, and remember. That was it. So a lot of the stuff, like the circle of bones and stuff like that, and I remember all of that. And the catacombs in and of itself is a really creepy place because it's like, It like goes wide and then narrow, wide. And so it's interesting the way that they were able to do it, you know, with the camera and the found footage. And I can understand that. I still have a hard time with found footage. I don't like that. I don't think it adds to the tension being, you know, having that shaky cam effect. The cinema vierte.
Yeah, I mean, well, there are times when I actually think it works. I mean, there's, you know, as a person who's hated, you know, found footage ever since Blair Witch made it a standard, is there's been a few times though where I've been, you know, pleasantly surprised. Like I know the best example that I'm constantly using is the Wreck movies, the original ones, not the Quarantines, but the Wreck movies, which I know when you're watching them, if you don't know enough Spanish, you're probably getting more nauseated than actually enjoying the film because you're trying to read everything as it comes across the screen.
Yeah, it's like reading in the car.
yeah, it pretty much is. But if you go into it, what I did the first time, like with the Wreck movies, is I would just watch them. I would watch the movie and read all the subtitles, and then I'd watch it again just to watch everything that was happening. that is, you know, in my mind, those films probably epitomize the way found footage films should be used. There was another one that was, it was like Grave something. Anyway, it was about these ghost hunters in an asylum, and I thought that one was done really well because one thing that I want to do in the future, and I know we need to get back to As Above, So Below, but one thing that I do want to do in the future, and I'm kind of, you know, presenting this to Jason now, is that I've been talking to our friend Joel, who, by the way, I want to make sure everybody knows that our friend Joel of the Coffin Joe cast and of the many, many other shows. I don't have the list in front of me right now, Joel. I'm
That's
sorry.
That's right. But he's a good guy. Definitely a good guy.
But he's a great guy, is a great writer of reviews and such, has actually joined our staff and is writing. Not only has he already put out a couple of standard reviews that we're going to put that I put out every week, but he's also joining me in writing some of these independent, you know, reviews where people have sent me in. I get a lot of films sent in, and I still want to keep getting them. And the good news is they're going to get reviewed a lot faster than I normally do, because now I have somebody to actually help me do this. But the point is that I actually want to get him on the show one of these days, because him and I have been sitting talking about found footage films. And I think it would be great to have, you know, a three-way panel discussing like, what is it, you know, where is the value in a found footage film? What are the things, you know, what's the criteria to be a found footage film? You know, things along that route. It would be fun to talk about. I think that As Above, So Below fits that criteria almost perfectly. I mean, shaky cam is difficult no matter, you know, whether you're putting it in a feature length film or if you're going for the whole cinema verite style.
Right.
It annoys me a lot of times. And especially when you're going for the full-on cinema effect, I'm just like, why do we have shaky cam here? Are we supposed to feel like we're standing here with the characters? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that's what they want, is you're supposed to feel like you're the person holding the camera. And if that's the case, trust me, that camera ain't shaking nearly as much if I'm holding it.
Right? I'd be, you know, wearing the whole Steadicam outfit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'd have a glide cam with me. And but that's the thing that drives me nuts with this, is that something like this, they could have just as easily told as good, if not, in my opinion, better of a film had they had a person down there with a Steadicam or a glide cam keeping it steady. I think it would have allowed for more interaction with the actors, let them really experiment more with the editing, being able to do that. When you got the shaky cam, you know, really that is one of the actors. That is the formula. Is
yeah,
you know, that becomes a central part of the film, and so you kind of, that becomes the storytelling vehicle. And because of that, that's what I don't like about it. And that was my biggest peeve with this film. I think the idea of, first of all, like I say, going into the catacombs, creepy in and of itself. I've been there. Claustrophobia, major theme. You know, in this one,
When the car burst into flames, I was just like, wait a minute. You just threw in claustrophobia and now you're taking all the oxygen out.
Yeah. You know, and then they're down in a place that is quite literally full of skeletons, as the skeletons in their closet figuratively are coming out.
Very true.
So I made a connection there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little shocked. Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not usually the Segway King. I like that.
but so that's the thing is, and I think this film would have been 10 times better had they have had a steadier camera and concentrated on the acting, the script, and the filmmaking rather than trying to cause the tension with the found footage shaky cam style.
Okay. Well, I kind of liked it in this one, especially with the, you know, when you have one thing happening and all of a sudden the camera swings around to catch whatever's happening next. And that's where the jump scares are supposed to come into play and make more and have more of an effect on us. Again, I'm still going to say that the best people to ever pull that off is the, you know, made the Wreck movies, because when it came to, you know, off camera scares and things like that, they are the ones who seem to have perfected it to an extreme. But one of the other things that I think is interesting about this film, though, and maybe it's because I've just been seeing too many artsy films, you know, that call themselves horror, especially the one I saw the other day that I'm still trying to figure out what the horror in the film is, except for the fact that they constantly kept showing us trees and I don't know why. But you know, and that one I'll definitely have up on the website at some point. But I liked what I was talking about with this, though, is that, you know, they were messing with philosophy here. I mean, they were working with some serious artsy type things that they were talking about with this. I mean, As Above, So Below is actually a statement I'm sure everybody has heard that comes from Hermeticism. They may not know that it came from Hermes, but anyway, it actually really. Wait a minute, I had the translation right in front of me and then I lost it.
Oh no. I thought it was biblical though. You know, God said what you shall or something.
What happens here?
Yeah, you know. What happens on earth I shall hold in heaven or something, or what you do below I shall hold in heaven.
Right. And I do believe that's you know, a part of it as well is let's see, they especially the words were through occult and magical circles. And basically what it is that whatever happens on any level of reality, physical, emotional, or mental, also happens on every other level of reality or non-reality. So the principle is basically about, you know, the microcosm and the macrocosm. So basically whatever, the microcosm being one, you know, yourself, and the macrocosm being the entire universe, is it basically if it happens to you, it happens to the entire universe. And that's essentially what they were going for. And they also pushed in the you know, the Christian element you were just talking about, which, you know, God said if it happens here, if it happens down there, it's going to happen up here too. Well, that's where the whole skeletons were coming back. And basically, I mean, I was left with this impression. You kind of get this idea as you're going through the film that you're being led into hell. But in actuality, you were being led into purgatory, where, you know, everybody has to atone for their sins now. And there are some that didn't make it out when they were atoning for their sins, and then some that did. One of the other
I had it completely wrong too. So Matthew 6:5-13 says, "Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive in three square meals." Oh, this must be a prayer.
Yeah.
Let's see. But it's based on Matthew 6:5-13. "And when you come before God, don't turn into the theatrical production either." Da da da. This is a weird translation of the Bible that I found online. Okay, keep going. I'm going
to
keep looking.
No, I understand what you're saying, is that there is a biblical reference to "as above, so below." And I know that they were talking about that as well, because as I was saying, it looks like you're making a descent into hell when actually you're in, you know, it's showing them going through purgatory, or where they're answering for their sins, you know, the sins of their past. And the other part of it that I actually liked a lot, though, was the literary reference to Alice Through the Looking Glass, is that there was a lot of that, like all the upside down things, and the you know, they go through a hole and end up in an upside down world, kind of, you know, that whole reference was, I thought, was pretty entertaining. But I don't know. What else do you have?
Sorry, I'm still looking up Bible verses now. So I'm like let's see. Yeah, I'm distracted. But well, no, I see what you're saying, you know. And that's exactly what this movie is, you know, it's supposed to be that by going into the catacombs, it's a catalyst that basically brings back everything bad that you've done or anything, you know, and sheds light on it. And, you know, as they're exploring through the catacombs, did it work for me? Not really. That part of the story didn't work for me. What did work for me, though, was definitely the claustrophobic feel. Even with taking away the shaky cam, and like I said, it could have been done elsewhere, but the claustrophobia, and like I say, I think it might be because I've been there. I know that claustrophobic feel. I know the smell in there. It smells musty. It smells dank. And they do a great job of, without even being able to smell it, portraying what it's like down there. The dampness, the water, you know, then they fall in the water at one point. And I mean, all of that, to me, just worked. That was the redeeming part of the film, is that, you know, it was actually shot in the catacombs, where there are millions upon millions of bones and skeletons and heads. And there's one shot that I don't remember seeing it in here, but when I went down there, I got a good shot of it. And then, of course, lost the tape, you know, because this was like, I don't know, 2000, I think I went. There's a shot where quite literally as far back as you can see, like you're standing on the edge of this really neat pile of skulls, quite literally skulls. And you look back and as far as you can see until the darkness completely takes over, it's skulls, like about 4 feet high and probably about 30 or 40 feet wide. And as far back as you can see until the darkness takes over, so you can only assume it's further. The other thing that, you know, kind of goes along with this is the idea that, you know, and they mention a lot of it, is knowing that people actually had to live down there.
Mm.
And the claustrophobia and the mental anguish that you would go through living down there around all of this death, around all of these skulls, around no sunlight, around all of that. I mean, they actually, you go down there, they have actual wells down there for people to get water from to drink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing. You go into different rooms. They have rooms for chapels, rooms for eating. And that's what's so amazing, you know, that I liked about this film that they shot down there, is that for so many people that can't make it to the catacombs, you get a feeling for what it's like to actually walk through there. Now, mind you, when I went through, they had you on this trail. They had, you know, lights up so that it was lit. They had things blocked off so that you couldn't go, you know, you basically had one way in, one way out. But still, being able to experience that and see it, I think, you know, the director and the cinematographer, with everything that I hate about the way that they shot it, did a great job of at least capturing that claustrophobic, that dank feel down there.
So basically, as far as films go, this film definitely did me a favor then, because I will never go down there because of claustrophobia, even though I would love to see these types of things. And they showed it all to me without me having to go down there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
which I definitely have to appreciate that. I mean, I liked it from the,
in many of the main big, like, you know, scenic shots, establishing shots and stuff that you see of the catacombs, where it shows some of the figures that they made down there. Because people evidently got really creative with bones. With
body parts.
With body parts, yes. Those are the ones that, when I say you're on the trail and you're just walking through, those are the ones that you actually see as a visitor. Those aren't awesome, like, off someplace that, you know, people can't go. Those are right there. So, you know, it is. It's one of them that I think, you know, overall, you know, they did an okay job with this film. I think the storyline could have been tightened up a little bit. And I'm not sure if it's because of the shaky cam that I think it could have been tightened up. But I think the storyline could have been tightened up a little bit. I think the idea is really good, so I do like that. I think the way that they portrayed the claustrophobia down there is great. I think, you know, where it was lacking is the cinematography with the shaky cam, using that as the vehicle. Not just a vehicle, not a portion of the film. It was the film, in my opinion. And then, you know, the idea of, you know, the skeletons in, you know, in the closet, like, had they not gone down there, all of this wouldn't have happened. I kind of would have liked to have seen that in more of a roundabout way of, you know, that this would have happened to them regardless, but it happened to them down there.
Because of down there, or
not because they were down there, but they just so happened to be down there when all of this happened, you know, because okay, it feels avoidable then, you know, like so many things that, you know,
so I think the film, you know, greatly portrayed that it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't been there.
Right. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't have happened. So, but that tells you that anybody that goes down there, and millions upon millions of people every day every year go down
there. Well, not to the extreme that they've done it, that they were doing it in the film, though. I mean, let's also, you know, throw in the fact that the real reason why they were there, and this ties us into the whole philosophy aspect of everything, is that they were there looking for the philosophy stone. Right. And you know how I like to compare everything we watch to something else? Well, not everything, because there are some films that I won't do that.
Isn't that Harry Potter, the Philosopher's Stone?
Exactly. You had them looking for the Philosopher's Stone by way of the Da Vinci Code. And then they did it totally Goonie style.
And ended up in Hogwarts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I thought it was a very entertaining film from the standpoint, though, that it did contain like all these elements of these different films. We had we were on a national treasure hunt, an international treasure hunt. We were looking for something that very few people believe exists unless you still strongly believe in alchemy of any sort. And so they were looking for the Philosopher's Stone. Who would have figured that the Philosopher's Stone would be in the catacombs underneath Paris? I mean, that seems more
there's
like
a lot of legends though
Italian
when I
thing.
Was over there. Yeah, but there's a lot of legends. There's people that believe that the Holy Grail is in the catacombs.
Well, when you have a place that's like that though, that has that kind of a history and that kind of a mystery around it, then of course that's where you're going to go with it. Unlike you, I didn't have that big of an issue with the shaky cam because I thought it was steady enough at the right times. And usually the off-screen stuff, it wasn't a case of where whatever was happening off-screen, I was just kind of like, wait a minute, you just ripped me off because something major happened off-screen. You always had some, whoever whip around with the camera fast enough to catch the most important part of that particular moment.
Or just
so,
like right after.
Yeah, which sometimes is just enough because I really love the way they played with sound, especially down in that cavernous area.
Which is true. I mean, it's so echoey down there already that the sound guy must have been having an aneurysm trying to get the whole thing had to have been 80 yard. I know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But they still were able to maintain, the hollow sound that you were expecting to hear in that in the place. And of course, obviously some of it couldn't have possibly been done in the catacombs. I mean, they couldn't have blown up a car in the catacombs, but at the same time, it gave me, as far as the claustrophobic aspect, it made me go, what are you doing sucking all the oxygen out of the room? Right. It's like, I was already suffering at that point. I like the push of the, I have an interest in the occult and the magical. So I liked that part of it, and it seemed tiring after a while because it was almost like the actors were getting tired after a while. And then when it flipped upside down, when basically the world flipped upside down, that's when I was spending a lot of time actually turning my head, going, I don't quite get this part of it, and that's where the whole Alice Through the Looking Glass part, kind of pieced together for me. But on the whole, as far as a found footage film goes, if you're a found footage fan, I think this one should definitely be on the list somewhere way above Blair Witch and below Wreck. But
yeah. Now, one thing I did want to mention in here, we talk about all these bones and stuff like that in the catacombs. You have to remember the reason is that Paris at the time of the Great Plagues, of the Black Plague. Was one of the most populated cities in the world. And they literally ran out of places to bury people. So they had to figure out what to do with all of these remains.
Pretty much the same thing that was happening in Rome at the same time is that they were putting their big cemetery that was underground is on an island.
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, basically they just started carving out and working their way around. So when we talk about the catacombs being huge, we're not talking like it's huge because, they started. It's because, it started off small and then more people died and they had to, put more people down there. And then they had to put more people.
Dig a little deeper.
And then they had to find a way to store all of them. Well, you can't store a bunch of rotting corpses down there. So what they have to do, they had to clean it all off so that the people were quote unquote intact. They weren't burned because they were a Catholic society, but they had to have space for them. So that's how they came up with the way that they did with it. So, and if I'm wrong, somebody let me know, but that's how I know the history.
Well, definitely. I remember part of the history was that they used to actually boil the bones to make sure that they were stripped clean.
Yeah, well, that's the only way to strip clean bone. I've done that myself, with deer and bear hides and stuff, and I've had to boil.
And a few X's.
For them, I always found sulfuric acid works best, or lye. Yeah.
Okay.
So, the lye takes a while. It does. And then it makes
Something literary about using lye.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But sulfuric acid, that stuff works great as long as, you know, you're in a you have a ceramic bathtub, because it eats through metal, but not ceramic.
Excellent point. So what we've learned here today is Jason's still not a huge fan of found footage films, especially the shaky part of it. We've learned that As Above, So Below is definitely a good film for people like me who would never be able to go down into the catacombs. We also learned the best way that Jason knows to dissolve human remains.
Yep.
And I don't know where we are as far as wrapping up, but it feels a little close to that, because the only thing left is for Jason to actually give a confession or two.
Not gonna happen. All right, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to get a hold of us by giving us a call at 503-454-6941. You can also send us an email at feedback@creepercast.com. Visit our website, which is creepercast.com. You can leave a voice message there, too. We have a little pop-up on the left side that you can record right from your smartphone, from your computer, whatever you have. Anything, Jeff, what do we got coming up?
Well, first of all, I want to say we definitely want to hear from you. It's rare to hear from people, and we'd like to see that grow. Again, we have Joel on the writing staff kicking out some reviews for us. He's got one up there right now of, like, The Woman, which we have actually talked about on the show, but you can get a chance to read it from his standpoint. I have finally got my hands on Billy Pond's Circus of the Dead. The review just recently got posted. Go check it out.
Sweet. All right. Thank you, guys. See you next week.